Howdy,
and welcome to episode 30 of Hello Fairview, your local podcast made right here in Fairview for people in Fairview, Tennessee, and the surrounding areas. This is a weekly show released every Wednesday featuring stories that aim to inform and inspire. Local radio stations and newspapers don't exist in small towns like ours, so we'll use Hello Fairview to fill that void of news related to Fairview. This is a value-for-value podcast, which means you contribute what you can based on the value you receive. This concept was founded by the Podfather himself, Adam Curry, and his co-host, John C. Dvorak of No Agenda Show, over 18 years ago. Currently, this is just a one-man operation, so if you have any of the ideas, events, business opportunities, or job openings, please don't hesitate to let me know. Use the contact form on the website, and we'll work to get the updates out on the next episode. You are a producer of the show. You are not the product because your time and attention are not being sold to advertisers for their value. Some shows will be longer and others will be shorter, but I always try to do my best to keep things relevant. Traffic time. Well, still very construction busy. You can wait 5 to 20 minutes in the morning and afternoon to make a left or right. Turn on 100 between Old Cox and the Rec Center. The sidewalk project from Bowie to the Rec Center is still on like Donkey Kong. There's been a lot of lane closures that caused a lot of serious backups there. The road closures have been further down now towards the Rec Center and the schools, especially in front of the elementary school. There's been a lot of problems with school pickup times as they are not done before 2:30 when things start getting busy, when people start getting into the car rider line at the middle school and high school, and then eventually at the elementary school. So it's truly luck of the draw if how the lane closure is going to affect you every day. So definitely check your traffic app to see what color of not green it is on Highway 100. Red light update. We still got total of 5, Old Cox, Publix, Walmart, and I-40. They're getting closer on the city center entrance. They had that paved now. We'll have to see when they are going to actually turn that thing on, because I don't know how either one of those at the Cumberland and 100 and the city center are really going to help us. City center, yep, they're still digging, but they've got the pavement down, so it's rock and rolling now. They're working on Bowie. So we are still waiting, but there's still piles of trees in some of the pictures and the updates that they're doing. So the storm cleanup trucks have made it down Old Cox that we've seen. And I've seen them every single day running around town doing chores and errands and stuff. So they're definitely out there. And so there's been lane closures and partial lane closures here and there as they've been driving down the road and picking up debris. We got 2 new firefighters promoted through the process, so that's great to see. And I had the budget stuff from last week, but houses, we went up from 228 to 240. Still a $3.9 million house and a $254,000 house. We had 5 houses sold this last week, and or March 23rd through 27th, with a $1 million, the most expensive, $202,000 for the cheapest, bringing our average for that week to $657,000. And we've sold 578 homes since December of 2024. And minimum price was $13,100 and average was $685,000. So it's not getting any cheaper. Town meeting updates. There was no Board of Zoning Appeals, but there was a Planning Commission on April 8th. 7 of the 9 commissioners were there, and Ms. Schilling and Mr. Ritt were not there. We didn't have any big citizen comments or anything like that. First old business was PC Resolution 1226, which was a Glen Haven Drive subdivision there. This basically was talking about, this is across from Jingo Java, about the landscape buffer, the steep slope disturbance, the tree bank fund, all these different things that we're trying to get nailed down for this, because it's going to be the Jingo Retail Center. So there was a lot of back and forth there, but ultimately it passed 7-0, so it's on like Donkey Kong. And then Orangeshire had its final plat read. That's another 14 homes. That's on, that was them filling in the donut. This has already been converted 5 acres to R20 off Northeast Highway and doing all that. PC resolution 1426 passed 7-0. This one took pretty much most of the time of this meeting. This is 115 single family residential subdivision on 111 acres. The commission voted to add a condition to remove the western stub street, which provided a dead end to the county line to Hickman County, which passed 7-0. A second condition required that all TDOT recommendations regarding the traffic study had to be included in the construction phase, also passed 7-0. However, the requested exception for the allowing of disturbance of greater than 20% on specific lots failed with a vote of 3-4. So basically, there was a couple lots that they were trying to get an exception to. They said they were going to make the build plot 100 feet back from the setback to be the same, so it'll be flat, and then that means you'd just be going off a steep slope from that. They didn't. I think they may have been able to get that, but they didn't have the exact detail for that lot. It was just that the average was 20%. And so the main development plan was amended, is passed as amended with those amendments. And so we'll see that, which means there will be less houses on that whole thing. But the amount of traffic impact that this have will be the greatest traffic impact to the west side of Fairview of any subdivision there has been to this point, especially any residents on Pinewood Road, anyone on 100 trying to make their turn to get to 840 or to Nashville or wherever they're going. So we will see how that keeps going. PC Resolution 1526, this was an applicant requesting a variance to lower the posted speed limit from 25 to 20 miles an hour in a closed loop. This reduction allows better site grading with less environmental impact and for improve the neighborhood safety. And this was related to, let's see, where is this one? This one is, it's the one that doesn't have the address the way that they wrote the thing down. So you can't really see it that way. So that passed. And then the reports came out from the city planner, adopted the new development code, talked about all the new projects that were submitted under the new regulations. Additionally, the planning office welcomed the new associate planner, Nick Meek, who joined the team on April 6th. On several commissioners also wish happy birthday to Ethan, of the city staff, and then they adjourned. Then Board of Commissioners, we had two meetings since then. We had one on April 16th, which is why this show is late, because I wanted to make sure and cover it. And this was the interview with the two candidates. Candidate A was at 6 p.m., but that was, Ken McLaughlin kind of thing. But basically, he's already had meetings with everybody. He was a Marine. He did that for 6 years, got out as an internship in Virginia, and went up from there from bigger and bigger cities. He worked in Virginia for 13 years. He had a five-year contract in Nolensville when they first formed the kind of city government and had a city administrator. And then he went to Thompson Station for 5 years. It was a contract. So he has 10 years in Tennessee. Commissioner Roberts asked, what do you figure you think would be the first thing you start with? He talked about some of the time constraints on having to have the budget ready, going through things and the priorities of each department to find out, because we have a short-term relief contract and going through there. And going over the land use development code, making sure that good, make sure the police and fire things are good, and working on making sure, trying to figure out the fire truck and how to fill that gap too. And making meetings work. Vice Mayor McDonald asked what the leadership policy was. He says open door. You have to be close working relationship with your employees. Schedule regular group meetings and individually. And we would be focused more on budget to start with. Commissioner All asked if he had had any experience with FEMA and TEMA. And he said, yes, it's a unique process. The time constraints and reimbursement process are pretty tough that you have to go through. Mary Anderson asked, "When with Nolensville and Thompson Station, what was your greatest accomplishment and challenge?" Nolensville, he said he was the first administrator, so it was a new position, so a lot of challenges just with that and forming a more mature government. Thompson Station, there was a lot of infrastructure problems there as they increased because they couldn't grow anymore without wastewater and a lot of other infrastructure and utility-related problems, but they were able to get a lot of that fixed. And both of those places had a lot of changes over the past 10 years. And then Mayor Anderson asked about the fire and police, of them being individual versus there, kind of dove into that. Asked what kind of budget experience he had had process with. So he said a 5-year CIP budget. This gives you a lot of benefits when you talk about capitalizing for projects and saving up for it, that he recommended the city convert to that method. But ultimately he had $6 to $7 million and up to $8 to $10 million in Nolensville and Thompson Station. In Virginia, he had budgets that were $50 million and up to $100 million with capitalized projects. And then did you ever propose raising property tax? He says no. He's never seen it worked, and never found it as a solution. He used that with commercial funding and growth and those types of things where it'd be able to be more stable. He said where he was, they were able to even almost make property tax zero because they were making money on all the other things. Candidate B was the former Dixon County County Mayor, Bob Real. He went to UT Martin, got a degree there, worked in banking and finance for 27 years, then started working with Dixon County when his public administration degree. He drove around and looked around things, and there was things that he recognized and things that he didn't. Commissioner Buffalini asked, how much time can you give the city of Fairview between now and then? He worked with his team, and basically it was like 20 to 27 hours over the next couple of weeks until September. He worked there for 16 years, so he had a lot of PTO. So there's some standing meetings that he's doing, but he can start working very, very soon. Commissioner Roberts asked what his first thing he would do. He said, he's been able to research some things, but he would start meeting with the staff to familiarize himself with the issues, and that budget and FEMA stuff, he'd be setting up a lot of meetings there and mentioned the sunshine laws, and he had some ideas of ways to make things more efficient. Mr. Kevin McDonald asked what his leadership style was, and he said that he would listen to them and he would be focused on the staff department leaders, because most of that stuff, 90% of that stuff, we can solve by just listening to people. There are also other elected positions with different strategies. And then he said he had any financial issues that he had to dig out. He said that there was a large interest payment that we just had to stop. We never brought up anything to the team to help fund it, so that they were always responsible. If they said there was an idea, we had to wait to make it happen. And they had a partially built jail, and just because it was a linear design, it meant that they had to staff everybody on day one instead of in a pod kind of scenario. They started with some landfill fees that are monthly, $10 per month per house, and that helped dig them out of that hole and actually help fund other things because of that. So it was a small thing that didn't have to do with property tax. Commissioner Hall said that he likes how he has the businessman approach to a lot of things. Mayor Anderson asked what his greatest accomplishment was and challenge. And he talked about a crazy 2009 meeting that in the Dixon County that was a Jerry Springer episode. So I definitely want to go find that. Worked with the mayor who didn't agree with him for over a year, but eventually they started working. And he had a lot of economic development and a couple hundred million dollars that came from a business and businesses that came there. And he says that's how we got things going. And he says we've done a lot of things in education from them. And then that pretty much wrapped up that special meeting, which was before. And then they had a recess before they did the regular town hall session. And there was a lady at this one, the citizen comments. We actually had one there. She was in the back of the first interview just writing down notes. But she brought up they are all liable, every board of commissioner, because they knew that Mr. Daughtry had hired his son-in-law, and they knew what the laws were, and they did nothing until then. And then she started targeting Mr. Buffalini, how he had too much power with his wife running for county clerk, and he thinks it's bad for him to hold others to a standard of family and government, but he doesn't hold himself to it. The city council, Mr. Carter, stopped her and said that this wasn't ethical, the things that she was saying. And then there was going to be a motion because she had already went over the 3 minutes, and then that motion was failed without that, so it was not allowed to do it. And then they passed the meeting notes. The fire chief had to add something to it for the last thing. Arts and Crafts Fair on May 2nd is still set for Bowie Park. There's 60 vendors signed up, so they're trying to get this thing cleaned up in the next couple weeks, which I think is good. Staff comments, basically, on the police side, overtime was up a little bit. Training hours are down. Arrests were about the same as last year. Citations are down for the quarter. Auto accidents are down with no fatalities. Calls for services were about the same, slightly down for February and March. Shop with a Cop will be starting on July 3rd during that celebration and raising money for that. There was a new officer that got put on his first patrol assignment. Fire Department Chief Hughes talked about that there was more calls last year for this same quarter. Response times increased to 9 minutes and 58 seconds, and average call duration was 24/17. Had one structural fire in the city and three in the county. More emergency and medical than fire calls were done. The ice storm they dealt with, damaged that Highway 96 haul, and it's getting covered by insurance. Training hours are doing well. Awards and commendations were given out. Mr. Knox gave the financial report, which basically he gave the account balances and some of the expense statements, which was what was given in the past. He was able to present that to them. Wasn't much questions about that or discussion. And Miss Carol came up and talked about the economic development stuff that she does. I said they're working with TDOT and that they could get bring 50 jobs for Project Home to our town. So work there. She's working with a restaurant group, is looking for a piece of property, and they may have found it. We have two healthcare groups wanting to be here, and we've talked about that quite a few times, that St. Thomas with DMA with some specialty doctors and TriStar is wanting to come here May 27th at 9 a.m. at Cordell Hall, which is across from the state capitol. There will be the HESC healthcare facility of need debate. So that would be a very good meeting to get to see what's going on. And so if you want this, make sure you're reaching out to whichever hospital you want, or both of them, I guess, and go from there. We applied for a couple grants and didn't get it, but because there was too many applications submitted. There was a lighting grant that has had funding, and they're getting ready to do that. And this is the lighting at the I-40 exit. They're waiting for a consultant to get added to do some things, I guess, before they can start moving. We are 95% down in building permits from last quarter. And that is a lot of that probably is the ice storm, because we had basically a couple weeks of not being able to work. Sales and property tax are up for this quarter. It's leveling out for the year. April 27th is the One Church Home event for Ascension Health. And gave the Invest Fairview will be at Camp Marymount May 15th, Friday night at 6:30. There'll be an auction, a get together, maybe recognize some people there too. They passed the previous meeting notes, all that good stuff. And then there was an interesting one here too. This was a resolution on, this is old, 2026, passed 5-0, a resolution authorizing the mayor to execute an addendum interlocal agreement for Williamson County for cooperation for the healthcare clinic. And so basically this was us saying that we'll work with any healthcare in the area. So, okay, makes sense. Old business, 1826. This was the actual contract for the new city manager. This past 5-0, Bob Rowell was nominated by Mayor Anderson, which meant that Mr. McLaughlin did not make it. City Legal worked on the package with Mr. Jones. And then we need to discuss things. And he said that, you know, he will only be working 25 hours this first time, and it's a monthly salary, which is $13,100. So they asked if we could prorate it. And that was from the going from there. And then after that, Commissioner Roberts and a couple others thanked them for coming. And then they passed on another addendum to this amendment so that it would be based on the hours worked until he got to full time and he would get to full pay by then. And so that happened. New business, 1926. Basically, This was the city attorney talking about the BOC and the guardrails, and there was lots of overlaps between city employees and working directly through the city manager. And that the BOC has technically just two employees, the city administrator and himself, the city council. They went back and forth and be mindful of that. And they were talking about just trying to get things ready and written out for there. And that traditionally things would always go through the city administrator instead of directly to, like, say, Ethan on the planning department. And that's the way the org chart works. And so a new person may allow things differently. Mr. Daughtry allowed some of those things to go through directly to there to just reduce friction, and maybe we need to change that. So this is the code of conduct that passed 5-0, 22-26, passed 5-0-2. This was the safety action plan. There's recommendations on Highway 100 and the coordination from that and the TDOT. I probably have to do like a special little episode just on this because it's really interesting. This is this analysis is hundreds of pages long, and basically this is Fairview is called out in here about head-on crashes for road departure. This is Fairview Boulevard, Highway 100 from Fairview Boulevard to the county line. Basically, there's wrecks as people are trying to make a turn on there. Then Fairview Boulevard and Cox Pike, a lot of rear-end crashes as people cross the road. Highway 96 and New Hope Road, rear-end crashes, people crossing the road trying to turn. Highway 96 and the I-40 ramp, head-on crashes and rear-end crashes were there. Fairview Boulevard and Adele Road, rear-end crashes and head-on crashes and pedestrian crashes. And so they basically make all these recommendations like shorter crosswalk alignments, longitudinal rumble strips, transverse rumble strips. Fairview Boulevard and Pinewood Road and Spencer Mill Road, road departures and crash. Basically, if you think about it, those are all, everyone that we've mentioned so far, major conduits where a lot of cars are going every day, that they're trying to make a left or right, and they usually go kaboom. So they have a good map of this that's in the show notes that have all that. And then they basically rate which thing they want to fix first, which road segment has the highest cost or timeline. So Fairview Boulevard and Park Village Court to Festival Court is probably looks like it's going to be first. Highway 96, so Loblolly Pine Boulevard, New Hope's Pass would be the next. And then Fairview Boulevard to the county line would be the top three. Fairview and Adele Boulevard is one of the top intersections they want to do first. Then Fairview and Cox, and then Highway 96 and New Hope, and then Highway 96 and I-40, and then Fairview Boulevard just by Spencer Mill Road. And this is all based on like how much it costs, how much safety impact it has, what the equity is, what the context is. And they basically have all this little scoring system. And they have an exact budget for all this. And this is interesting on its own because it basically shows it was what, like, $562,000 in improvements for most of the short midterms. And then doing the widening safety shoulders and buffered bike lane, which doesn't have the road, but I'm guessing that's on Highway 100, was $2 million. So basically between that was $3.2 million. And the construction contingency shows 25%, $640,000. So we'll see. There's a lot of good maps of some of this that they did. So we'll post those there so you can kind of see it. But basically this 285-page report, and on page 74 is when it actually has to do with us. Resolution 2326, passed 5-0. Basically, this was an update talking about some of the collection. Mayor Anderson said basically the amount of cubic feet that they have collected so far from the monitoring company said that they were below where they did. And some of that had to do with that they did not go back and revisit other locations, so they didn't go pick up double the stuff. Commissioner Roberts talked about that we're still going to finance the same amount of this $2.75 million. And that's because even if we don't use it all, we can immediately apply this funding to the loan, and that will lower our interest payments. So basically try to pay it off as early as we can. That passed 5-0. Resolution 2526. This was added during the meeting, and basically this was an official thing that the fire chief needed so that they could help with the demolition and training at a house that was going to be demolished. So if you ever have a house that needs to be demolished, make sure and reach out to the fire department and the city, and they will help get the permits and things ready so that they can practice live fire. Because if they just practice structure fires at their tower, it's the same scenario every time. And so this was really good. Then the round table, as we wrapped up everything, Commissioner Buffalini was condolences to the Green family for Bobby Green, who'd recently passed away. April 27th is the Ascension at one event at One Church Home, which will be catered by Uncle Lenny's. There's still help for FEMA stuff at disasterassistance.gov. Commissioner Roberts said thanks to everybody for coming, and especially the nominees tonight. Excited about the Invest Fairview event that Ms. Carroll talked about and things going along from there. Commissioner Hall, thanks to the Green family. We have them in your prayers. Thanks to all city employees and everything they've done since the ice storm and the city manager event. They've done a fantastic job. And they saved us money in the parks with the way they did and all the volunteering they did at going above and beyond. So that was great. And that there was a park bench that they're talking about restoring. And so if any volunteer organization needs to help, that sounds like a good opportunity. Brought up how it was such a pretty sunset tonight. Vice Mayor McDonald basically said the same things as Ms. Roberts, thanking everybody and all the staff for everything they've done and the candidates for coming. May Anderson thanked the candidates for their time and considering Fairview, and that she had known Mayor Bob Real for over 10 years and lucky to gain his experience. Mentioned the Green family also in the community, and that the flag is half staff at the ball field for Mr. Bobby Green because he used to run the CRA, which was what was before the FRA, and talked about his crappy fish recipe and how good it was. But then our next thing, April 30th, we got our Board of Commissioners Town Hall, and then Parks and Landscape Board is back on the agenda May 14th, and May 13th is our Round Town Coffee, so that's good. State of Tennessee, the Boring Company took its official stage and trying to get some of the business leaders, but missing a lot of things there, so it's definitely going. So basically, some of the stuff has changed to the way it can control so the state can control it. A state-controlled board directed the Nashville tourist tax dollars to multiple projects will be used under the comptroller's office according to legislation. House Bill 2085 sets a 9-member joint capital tourism board to oversee $30 million in excess revenue generated by the development zone and $300 million in surplus funds held by the Nashville Convention Center Authority. So basically, they got more taxes with this than they expected, and now they need to figure out how to spend it. So I would hope that you'd be using to spend it debt or lower the tax rate slightly so they didn't do this, because there's a lot of businesses really going after there and talking about how they were probably maybe their last year of business because their assessed value of the property has went up so much and their taxes. So Arnold's Kitchen was on a couple news stories talking about how theirs went from $70,000 to $140,000, and that's one of their most expensive expenses. And how do they keep doing that as a family owned? You know, they're not Oracle, they're not Amazon, some of these big companies. And then the next one here is the constitutional question. The Tennessee House passed legislation giving the state attorney general the power to audit and seek removal of the Shelby County district attorney for refusing prosecution crimes. The Republican-controlled House voted 71-23 to target that district attorney in the 30th Judicial District. So basically, someone was not prosecuting crimes, and so they voted to get him out of there. A political action committee was set up for Senator Marsha Blackburn's effort to become Tennessee's next governor, and a $1 million donation from TikTok investor Jeff Yass was given. Tennessee House Republican leaders aren't endorsing the revival legislation, providing a $20 million break for FedEx, despite a $1 billion-plus investment planned in Memphis. Representative Mark White, in East Memphis Republican, hopes to return House Bill 1978 to the floor for another vote, as it failed 37-45 2 weeks ago. The bills. Well, there's all kinds of stuff going, lots of schedules, but it's the really the House sessions is what it's all House session and Senate stuff is busy. So if we just go through here, there is just a ton of things. So there is a, you know, Senate Bill 0254. Basically, this is just a Correctional Institutions Committee. There was another one. I mean, I got a whole list of them here. Let me see. We can see, pick some of these. There was a teachers and principals and personnel amends some stuff there to talk about how they received some of their permits and satisfaction and clinical practice requirements and EPP stuff. Another one facilitates the county election commission to designate restroom facilities in each building in which elections are held that are used for workers and volunteer workers during the campaign. I guess there was an access to bathrooms. So we have to put a law around it. Then another one was blood lead level testing for students in certain schools and pregnant women. Requires the department to keep track of that stuff for lead poisoning, as we have lots of old pipes that are probably still like that. Then another one was to look at damages and non-economic damages, $1 million in healthcare liability arising from obstetric and maternity negligence and the death of premature and permanent injury of pregnant or postpartum women. So something to help there. Then another one introduced required the department to provide at least one professional development course that provides asynchronous instructions on the use of artificial intelligence in the cloud, made available at no cost to teachers in the grades 6 through 12. Requires such teachers to complete at least one department approved professional development course on the use before the end of 2027, before the school year starts there. And then within 2 years of becoming a licensed teacher coming through there. Then there was a whole bunch of amendments to a bunch of title codes from there. Authorizes the another one authorizes the head of the Secretary of State and the Adjutant General to file electronically the annual report for functioning. So try to make things a little faster. And then, yeah, it was just all kinds of stuff. I'm sitting here scrolling through it all, just trying to even just cherry pick it. The amount of sessions that they have on the board is impressive. And this stuff was all voted on that day. And so that stuff wasn't even posted as to, you know, all the stuff that I'm looking like that. So we keep going here. Yep. So that one's about more correctional, Trousdale Turner Correctional Facility. Trying to fix some things over there. It just keeps going and going and going and going. It's real hard to try to pick some of this stuff because I could probably spend an hour on there. Because I mean, this terminates the Dyslexia Advisory Council and directs Advisory Council for Education of Students with Disabilities. So, I mean, it's just every part of our life. There's so many things in business that are all related to some of these that are on the floor that were on the floor today. So we'll skip past all this. How's the hill? Well, it's definitely passable, and it's been hot and then chilly and mostly hot, but I think we're kind of in the hot phase right now. And this week, the weather guessers are predicting highs from 87 to 74 and lows back down to 40 to 68 with rain forecasted next Thursday. New businesses. Well, nothing new was spotted. Jingo Java still moved over to Uncle Lenny's. Vigilance moved over to Publix. Ace Hardware is getting a lot closer. They paved their parking lot and they're hiring. There's still a couple of properties for sale and lease around here. There's three properties for sale, and then three for lease if you're in there. Farmers Market. Make sure you head to the Farmers Market every Saturday morning, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. at Messick Chiropractic and Fairview Fresh Deli Donuts, located on the road across from Publix. There are so many good places to get breads, treats, local beef, pork, fruits, vegetables, and along with hot sauce, fishing lures, and lots of other gifts all the time. Local business highlight this week, we had to do the Publix, right? When you need some groceries, this is pretty much one of the main places to get it. Publix was founded on September 6, 1930 by George Jenkins, who opened the first location in Winter Haven, Florida. Today, that brick and mortar building stands part of the National Register of Places. By 1935, Jenkins opened his second location on the opposite side of Winter Haven. In January 2010 is when we got ours. The Brentwood-based PGM Properties finalized the deal to develop this 14.8 acres, bringing it Publix anchored by the shopping center that we're used to. Job openings. Well, there is still 48 jobs opened. There's still a police officer position if you're looking for one there. And then, just like we've said, pretty much there's also a Bowie Park maintenance crew member as the two city jobs. And then basically every business that you see a storefront, there is someone that there's a job there. And there's other places like Big Heart Moving Company. There's a moving driver there. So that's a place you don't see. Unity Chiropractic still has its job. That's in that shopping. That's that shopping center by Papa John's. So you can check that out. And then there's like Catalino Management. There's a physical there. From there, Sherman Williams, AMS Seals, SPEG, Sonic, Turner Landscaping, Destination Pet LLC. So if you have any other job postings, make sure you use the contact form on the website and we'll add it on here. But otherwise, we're always just scanning from there. History nugget. We're going to switch it back to our normal history here. 1769, the first settler in Tennessee, William Bean, supposedly the first permanent settler in Tennessee, built a cabin on Boone's Creek near the Watauga River. In 1770, there was a seizure of Native American lands. Ignoring the British prohibition on settling the Indian lands in the backcountry, Virginians and North Carolinians built four different communities in the northeastern Tennessee on the Watauga River, in North Holston and Nolichucky, and the Carter Valley. The white man's goal was no longer to have trading privileges, but to take possession of the land. These are the beginnings of the race to grab the western lands. One standout is Richard Henderson, which was the most ambitious speculator of Hillsborough, North Carolina. He managed to organize a treaty with the Cherokee for the purchase of a vast tract of land, much of Kentucky and Tennessee holding close to 20 million acres, in exchange for six wagons filled with goods valued at 10,000 British pounds. One Cherokee chief, Dragging Canoe, opposed the sale of the ancestral land established by the Chickamauga tribe that harassed the settlement for 20 plus years. So there's a little bit of story about that. So that was kind of cool. Upcoming events, lots of stuff. Obviously, the craft fair coming up. It is full sports season, so you see all that kind of going on here. Bowie Park is obviously still closed. April 11th at 7 p.m., there will be that flag retirement. So that looked like that went good. I saw the pictures from that. And so that was great to see. And that we're on April 18th. There is another skating thing at the Fairview Rec Center. And this is going to be the Joust and Jam Skate Night. And so $6 per skater. And you must bring your own skates for this one. And then April 28th, we have the Fairview Titans Pro First Annual Four-Man Golf Tournament. And then, just like we said, April has already been posted on the Bowie Park of where they're going to be. So on the 23rd, there's Read Under a Tree at the Historical Village. April 24th, Veterans Memorial Park. There's a Life Cycles of Sally's and Newt's. And basically just more news that they're working on cleaning things up and going through there. So it's great. So we'll see some of that. It is voting time. Early voting has officially started on April 15th through 30th. So get out there and vote for the county primary. So head over to the rec center and knock that out. And then eventually there'll be the and then you'll have the stuff at Westwood eventually on election day when that all gets kicked off there. And then from there, with for the kids, well, there's tons of activities and sports in Fairview to keep your kids engaged. There's cheer programs, recreation teams for baseball, basketball, softball, and much, much more. There's a thriving Girl Scouts and Scouting America programs here in Fairview. If you have a homeschooler, make sure you're always checking out the Bowie Park schedule for the clubs that meet there. If you have kids that are interested in dance, gymnastics, or cheer, please check out Lala's Dance Studio, Elevate Gymnastics and Cheer. Vigilance Martial Arts is our local taekwondo and jiu-jitsu school that teaches way more than just moves. The Fairview Jacket Youth Wrestling Program has produced a lot of state champions and some college scholarship recipients, and offers a lot of summer programs for childcare too. The Indy Theater presents the Yay Camp. This is at Independence High School. So if you've got a kindergartner through eighth grade, they've got a program for you, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And this stuff is in the show notes. And then on April 18th, this weekend, we have the sports physicals at Franklin High School or Fairview High School at 11 a.m. You can register to get your sports physical there. School news. Well, May 21st is all we're marching towards right now, as the last half day of school, which will be a dismissal at 11:20. Hawk and Tiger news. Well, no new news since last week. They they don't post the same stuff as everybody else. Falcon news. The newsletter was on time. The Charlotte's Web play was a hit. The girls flag football is undefeated, has one more game before heading to the end of season tournament. Girls softball is number one in the district. The golf had an outstanding math, which with both boys and girls earning first place in their divisions. And then we had a track person throw 78 feet, land in on an impressive 3-meet PR streak for the long jump. The boys 4x200 earned second place on the Battle of 840, and another one got a award for the hurdles, placing second. One of the girls did, and then one of the others has set multiple school records too. The String Fling at the movies will be Friday, April 24th at Summit High School with a couple different bands playing there, so that could be cool to go see. FMS Awards are coming up soon, so if your student was nominated, you should have already known, and May 20th will be the Class of 2030 promotion. And they wanted to make sure and thank everyone that helped donate to Graceworks because the food drive went great. And then there was a Tattoo Your Teacher fundraiser that's coming up, and this is from April 8th to April 16th. And this is where you donated money and you could get some tattoos on there. So that was good to see. And as always, there's been track meets and ball games every single time. The Fairview family night and student mixer was this week too. So hopefully that went well. And it's going to be a lot of stuff related to testing from here on, as TCAPs and all that stuff starts happening in the next week on April 21st. The summer orchestra camp is on there, and this is at Freedom Middle School. This is June 22nd through 26th. So if you got a middle schooler that's in there that wants to do some stuff with the orchestra, you can rock that out. Jacket news. Got the newsletter this week. Most of the updates were really about the finals. April 25th is the NHS Walkathon, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the track. Basically, all sports are rocking and rolling, just like the middle school, so it's very, very busy. The tennis team's wrapping up some things, so with some championship, the prom is coming up this weekend, which makes this Friday, senior skip day, as everyone gets ready for the party. The FFA is having its plant sale next week, April 14th through 17th, and then 21st through 24th, and they've got stuff from $5 to $25 and all kinds of cool flowers. April 23rd is the jazz and trivia night at Kano's, being advertised there. April 17th is the girls' high school wrestling starts getting going, so it's good there. The Fairview High School PTO doesn't have anything this time. There is a good video that the ag department did about farm to table and getting that food, and there's innovative stuff there, and you can donate for the cause there. Senior jackets and rings can still be ordered, and there's still some swag for sale, so definitely check that out. Faith moment. This week I wanted to look at something that's always been like a common problem within the Christian faith, unbelief and doubt. And this is from Bill Johnson from the Bethel Church. And I think he did a pretty good job at this. This is the full thing, but I hope there's a full sermon. This is just a good excerpt about this exact part. So let's get into it.
Unbelief is not the absence of faith. It's the presence of unbelief. There is a difference. Later he says, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. The problem is you can have more than one seed growing in your garden. The longer I walk with Jesus, the more I find out he thinks different than me, and he's not going to change. And I'm the one that's to change. So that's the journey I'm on. So what I'm going to do, though, is we're going to take a story out of Mark 9, but I'm going to read a verse out of Matthew 13. out of the parable of the seed and the sower. I know that it is sometimes dangerous to take elements out of one parable or one story and mix them with another, because they don't always translate well story to story. And you can sometimes end up with false information. I know that that's true. So I'm just warning you ahead of time, I'm going to do that. And you'll have to figure it out. I know that sometimes, the fire of God is always the judgment of God, except that one time in Acts 2, when the fire of God was the tongues of fire, and tongues are a language of praise, and it's for edification. So it's far from judgment. The snake is always the devil, except that one time it was Jesus on a cross who became sin on our behalf. Earthquakes were always judgment, except for that one time in Acts 4 when in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the entire place was shook because of the presence of God. So what you don't want to do is become too rigid. And so I'm going to ask you to approach these two stories loosely, because I think one will actually give us the insight we need for the next one. All right, so this is what we're going to start, is the parable of the seed and the sower. Now, because we're not doing the whole story, I'm just going to read one verse. I want to remind you, if you're unfamiliar with the story, parable of the seed and the sower, the seed in this parable is the word of God. The soil is the condition of the heart. Here's a very important lesson. The productiveness or the fruitfulness of a word that God spoke does not validate whether or not it was from God. Because that parable actually gives us four different kinds of soil. Three were no good. The word was authentic, but it just didn't bear fruit. The fault wasn't what God said. See, many people make the mistake of saying, well, we judge a tree by its fruit. That's absolutely right. But they will say, well, we'll know whether this was a work of God or not by the fruit. Not always. Jesus talked about healing 10 lepers. Only one had a character change enough to return and give thanks. Did it mean the other nine were falsely healed? No. God's word, the validity of his word, is not validated by what we do with it. In other words, it's not proven by what we do with it. God's not on trial by what I do. I am. In this particular illustration, we have in verse 22, he who receives seed among thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So here's the picture. My wife is the master gardener. She has not been gardening. She's been too sick. We have a garden, though. The pepper plants are not this tall. It's the weeds that are this tall. We have been invaded by the weeds in this garden. And it's because we planted certain seeds, but not being able to take care and tend the garden, we have other seeds that have competed for the nutrients, observed the moisture, and have outgrown and actually cast shadow or shade over the plants that were supposed to be prolific and grow and provide food. The word of the Lord is the same way. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Say that with me. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Say it again. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It does not say faith comes from hearing the word of God. If it did, then let's all of us go home, put on YouTube where they're quoting scripture for the next 24 hours. Let's have it playing 24/7 in our sleep, and we'll have the Wigglesworth kind of faith by Friday. It doesn't work that way. Faith comes from hearing. It's your connection to the voice of God, but the voice of God is activated by your exposure to the word. It's the word that enhances and trains the hearing. Now, here's the challenge, is I've got a word that God spoke to me, but I have another idea, and I have a disappointment, and I've got this criticism, and I've got this complaint, and I've got all these seeds that are vying for the same nutrients. And what does the Bible say happens? It says the cares of this world, the other interests, the other burdens or concerns. Busyness is artificial significance. The enemy works to expand our busyness to increase our cares. The enemy works to expand our activity to increase our cares. Because if he can increase our cares, he plants seeds that compete with the Word of God. Mark chapter 9. Verse 17. We're going to read quite a few verses, so please do follow in your Bible or your neighbor's as much as you can, please. Verse 17. Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it up, but they could not." And he answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you?" Let me stop there. I love this translation, but I'm annoyed by their use of this word faithless, because it's not what it says. The literal word is the word unbelief. And there's a difference between faithless and unbelief. Unbelief is not the absence of faith. It's the presence of unbelief. There is a difference. Later he says, "I believe, but help me in my unbelief." The problem is you can have more than one seed growing in your garden. To say it's a faithless garden is not accurate. There's faith in the garden. Are you following my analogy here? To call it faithless is not accurate. There's just unbelief there. People come to me and they say, "Well, I have an intellectual bent." "Oh, you mean you have an unbelieving bent?" It's nothing to be proud of. God's quite smart, and it doesn't interfere with his faith. So if my intellect is affecting my faith, then I know the wrong things. The knowledge of the tree of good and evil. I know the wrong things. I fill my garden with seeds that compete with what God is saying. They compete with my destiny. True faith gives you access to your greatest point of intelligence. I believe in the days ahead, we're going to see the greatest intellectualism come out of faith. Yes, Bill, amen. Keep it up. The Bible says, by faith we understand the worlds are made out of nothing. By faith we understand. We don't understand by faith. We don't believe because we understand. We understand because we believe. Faith gives us access to a level of understanding you can't get through human reasoning. All right. I feel like I'm preaching all by myself here. It's all right. I'm not going to quit. No, sir, I'm not going to quit. I'm teasing. I'm just happy to see so many people in the room. There's humans. I just want you to know this last year I discovered I was addicted to humans. All right. Let's move on here. Verse 19. He answered and said to him, "O faithless generation," I'm going to change it. He answered and said to him, "O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. Why would he do that in front of Jesus? Because I think it worked in front of the disciples. If you can create enough disturbance with what you see in the natural, it can interfere with what you see in the spirit. The enemy was working to create a disturbance that they saw here that helped them, that caused them to no longer see what they saw here. And that was what God had already willed to happen. Faith doesn't deny a problem's existence. It just denies the problem a place of influence. They brought him to him. He threw him on the ground, wallowed, foaming at the mouth. Verse 21. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. It's interesting. It's the smallest measure of faith I can find in the entire Bible. If there's a smaller one, please show it to me. This one barely moved the needle. When you come to God and say, if you can, God, if you have the ability to do this big problem, and the Lord turned the table on him and said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I've got more than one plant growing in my garden. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him, enter him no more. When the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? And he said, this kind comes out by nothing but prayer and fasting.
Welcome back. Well, I hope you learned a little bit from the parable of the seed and the sower. I like their description. Having a small amount of faith is not the same thing as unbelief. In this sermon, Bill Johnson teaches us on faith and the danger of unbelief. Unbelief is not having a little faith. Faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains, but the presence of unbelief. Learn how to tend the garden with your faith by weeding out unbelief and making room for strength to strengthen your faith. Mark 9:17 was also brought up and was dug into a little bit. And the full sermon is called The Mountain of Unbelief if you want to look it up. And we've got the stuff in the show notes, so that's great. Donations on the donation front, nothing new. Still rocking the $0 there. There's definitely people listening. I can see some downloads, but I don't see any posts or comments or anything like that to know. But if you want to, definitely donate. That would make things a lot easier to do all the stuff and spend all the time. But other than that, you know, definitely thank y'all. I hope you found this podcast helpful. Hope you learned a couple things. Please support this show with your time, talents, and treasure. If you have any ideas or suggestions, please share it with us. You are a producer of this show. You are spending your time listening to the show and learning some things about Fairview, Tennessee and the state. You have talents. You can use those skills to help Fairview. Just let us know. Use the contact form on the website if you've got some news that would help us or some information. We have a couple people that reach out on a semi-regular basis on Facebook Messenger and email to tell us about things that we got right or wrong, and we've corrected those also given us suggestions for content too. So it's really good because you're listening to this for free. There's no paid advertisements. You're getting truly local news. And if that's worth something, consider supporting us by just, you know, donating a couple dollars like you would if you were going to get some coffee. Please follow us on social media at hellofairview.com because a lot more things are coming and a lot more things are planned. Other than that, y'all have a great day. Thank y'all.